This is the Hip Hop African Podcast, a show where we have in-depth conversations about African hip-hop culture and artists. Your host is Msia Kibona Clark, a professor in the Department of African Studies at Howard University. For more information or to contact us, please visit us at hiphopafrican.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Hip Hop African Podcast. So we're going to start the year with a special episode that was result of a research project I did on a grant with the University of Maryland College Park. And the grant project was looking at African and Black diaspora studies and really looking at race, ethnicity, gender interactions between and among first and second generation African diaspora immigrants and native born African Americans in the U.S. So that's really kind of the official description. And my specific project really was looking at hip hop as a cultural space where Black identities can be negotiated and presented. And so I've always kind of talked a lot about cultural representation in my work. And so this is really an exploration of that, a further exploration of that. And my project initially, and I say initially because it kind of took a turn, but it initially was looking at representations of Black identities and shared experiences by second generation African hip hop artists in the U.S. And I was trying to understand how they represent Black identities in their music, how they discuss shared experiences between African Americans and African immigrants, and then how they represented Africa. And so I did this really through listening to songs, interviews, and I focused mainly on millennial and Gen Z artists. I think it secretly was an attempt to get to know how Gen Z artists think. As a Gen X person myself, it's been interesting looking at Gen Z's music, especially drill music and some of the other genres that they're coming up with, and trying not to impose my golden era hip hop sensibilities on Gen Z artists. But the focus was on millennial artists, Gen Z artists in the United States. And I found several songs to look at. So over 500 songs by 10 artists, several interviews, all artists that we looked at, millennials and Gen Z artists. So these are Nipsey Hussle, Lola Monroe, Boss, Moxo Cream, Wale, Aminé, Chica, Doja Cat, Earl Sweatshirt, Thutmose. So these are artists that were either born in the U.S. to African immigrant parents, or at least one African immigrant parent, or they came to the U.S. when they were really young. Like Lola Monroe, family's from Ethiopia, but I mean, she was born in Ethiopia, but she moved to D.C., the Washington, D.C. area at a really young age. And these artists represent, you know, Nipsey Hussle's, you know, from L.A., Lola Monroe's from Washington, D.C., Chica's from Montgomery, Alabama. So you've got a lot of representation. Now, the thing that they had in common is that there were very few songs that fit the criteria. And that criteria, again, representing African identities, talking about shared experiences. Now, there was a lot of representation of Black identities in terms of Black identities in America, but there was not a lot of representation of African identities. And so there were a few exceptions. Wale's song, My Sweetie. My name Wale. And Aminé's song, Roots. Those songs were the two. Those songs were two of the exceptions in terms of looking at songs that dealt with those identities. So during the research, it really became clear that I had to look globally, and looking at what's been happening with hip hop and how hip hop has been innovating and changing and shifting. A lot has been happening outside of the United States. And so for this project, I needed to take a more global consideration of what hip hop artists are saying. And honestly, the best place to do that was Europe. So when you look at Europe, even if you throw in Australia, it complicates Black identities even further. And so a more global perspective on Black identities really kind of helps us understand hip hop's role in shifting conversations around in identity and having different representations of identity. So when you look at the US and Europe, there are two main differences that kind of led to why you had different types of representations. One, the U.S., the hip hop industry is dominated by what I call the multi-generation diaspora. So if you want to say African-Americans, so the multi-generation African diaspora, these are African-Americans who've been in the United States four or five generations. So they're four or five generations removed from Africa versus second generation African immigrants who are a smaller, much, much smaller percentage of the artists, especially in the mainstream hip hop scene. So then hip hop is dominated in America by the experiences of that multi-generation diaspora, and that is what's represented. Mainstream hip hop is largely devoid of any first and second generation diaspora experiences. So first and second generation artists, most of their music really assimilates to dominant narratives in mainstream hip hop. And it's understandable because you're marketing to the audience that is there and that audience cannot relate to you talking about going home eating fufu, then you may not want to release a song that talks about that. You may want to have a song that kind of focuses on a shared experience that you have as a Black person in America with other Black people in America. Because remember, this music informs broader society. It communicates with broader society. Now we hop across the pond over in Europe. You have a hip hop industry that is dominated by first and second generation African diaspora artists. And so those experiences are more present in hip hop. So hip hop has a more vocal presence of the experiences of first and second generation African diaspora artists. Mainstream hip hop offers, you know, those experiences. So it's not just underground hip hop, but it's also mainstream hip hop. And that first and second generation diaspora really are shaping the growth and changes in mainstream hip hop. I mean, the whole grime music scene that kind of kicked off in the UK was developed by the children of West Indian and African immigrants in the UK. Drill music developed in the US goes into the UK, and, you know, they're developing their own sounds there. And so you've got, again, that first and second generation really playing a big role. So when I started looking at Europe, I was looking at, again, millennial Gen Z artists. I'm still looking at the same age range, finding very interesting results. I think the one of the oldest artists that I looked at was Seyfu, who was born in 1981. So Seyfu, who's in France, Shay, who's in Belgium, Bree Runway, who is in the UK, Stormzy, who's in the UK, Niska, who's in France, Annie, who's in the UK, Little Sims, who's in the UK, Shabo, who's in the UK, and J-Hus, who's in the UK. And, you know, when I say that the UK is really, and it may be because of my inability to speak French. So there could be far more artists, Francophone artists in France, and I just am not as aware because I'm not as plugged into that scene. So when we look at the UK, especially in the past couple years, there have been a lot of projects coming out. Of course, you know, Stormzy is a huge artist over there, but you're also seeing Little Sims not only doing music, but also acting. And so you're seeing a lot of activity, a lot of contributions from European hip hop artists. And so you also see in their music more mentions of connections to the continent, more mentions of their families. So, for example, you've got songs like I Want by Annie.
Crisis for me and my crew. We're black and we're British and African too, but so far removed. I'd like to go
Woman by Little Sims.
Niger women got the melanin dripping. Nella Wendy, O-N, city girl living in the back, looking like fire, chili pepper. You rubber girl, tougher than imperial.
Et noir et blanc.
Vos noms, il t'a le même que celui qui est vôtre. Arabe, africain, français, antillais, latin, asiatique, haïtien, la mort n'a pas de frein à main. Mes origines sont en panique.
I know I'm saying it wrong. I know it's French. I don't know French. I just said I don't know French. By Safe You. All of which address the issues or representations of African experiences. And so this is something that you don't see a lot in mainstream music, mainstream hip hop. Annie, of course, had that huge hit, Paying Black Girls, which came out a couple years ago. In the video, she's got images of herself, but also, you know, herself dressed in kind of quintessential hip hop aesthetic, but also dressed in African print clothing with her and her aunties. Shebo's song Dobale was another one where very, very hip hop track, very hard hitting lyrics. But she's got a couple scenes where she's wearing African print clothing, and one where someone is actually cornrowing her hair, again, wearing African print. So that representation is heavy in European hip hop. So when I decided to do the episode and really wanted to do a project, and I realized that this project had to go international, it coincided happened that I had a student in my class this semester who is British Nigerian. And so born and raised in the UK, family's from Nigeria. And she also kind of put me on to some of the other artists from the UK, some artists that I hadn't known about. And so she was gracious enough to do the episode with me. Our experiences are definitely different. Our relationships to hip hop are different. Growing up in the UK, me growing up in the US, her family's coming from Nigeria, my family's coming from Tanzania. So very different geographical experiences, different age. So our kind of perspectives, it was really interesting having a conversation with her. I think the thing that interested me the most was how in touch and how freely children of African and West Indian immigrants in the UK talked about those identities and how they were just normal parts of conversation. So it wasn't like a thing. Whereas growing up in the United States, it was something that for many, I mean, I know now, you know, Africa has become trendy, but for many youth, it is still something that kids will tease you about. And there's still kids that try to assimilate and not bring their African selves with them in spaces that are not African. So it was very interesting. And I often, you know, she was talking, wonder what it have been like to have actually grown up in a situation where being African was not something that was ridiculed in school. So it was an interesting conversation. So we go into the conversation and I will hit you back on the other side.
Miss Tanzania, she a do or die. Says she want to know more about the Sukuma tribe. We hit the zoo once wasn't enough. Got an ocean full of knowledge.
I wanted to introduce everyone to a special guest that I have joining me today. And so I will let her introduce herself. So go ahead.
Hi, everyone. My name is Star. I'm a junior at Howard University. I study English and African studies. And I am a second gen immigrant. My parents are from Nigeria. I was born and raised in the UK. And so this was like a really exciting thing for me to do. But I really enjoy music, especially hip hop in particular. And I really wanted to kind of just sharing the discussion. So, yeah.
And so I want to now kind of ask Star, who are some of the artists in the UK that you listen to, and who would you say are artists that you feel kind of speak most to your own experiences and your own background?
For me personally, I really like Annie. You're just speaking about her. She's Nigerian. She gained popularity with, I think it was Paying Black Girls. And that was, I think that really kind of spoke for everybody, a lot of black girls. it kind of just spoke for itself. I also really like Dave. Dave is Nigerian as well, and he's a really popular rapper. He's been kind of popular for a while. I feel like he kind of speaks to more so the kind of like class struggle as well that lots of like immigrant families face. And I feel like that's something that I can really relate to. So yeah, there is just kind of like my top two, but there's multitudes of others like Lil Sims, Tion Wayne. I think there's a wide variety.
Now, Little Sims is also in the show. I was very surprised to see her. She also was in the show. Top Boy.
I just recently started watching Top Boy. I'm very much behind.
How are you just not watching Top Boy?
Because it's so violent.
It is. I did not finish the first season. It's definitely an exaggerated depiction of life in, you know, those neighborhoods, but it is, you know, somewhat, some of that stuff does happen. I was like, okay, I want to see it. And then I saw her. So
that is very much real.
So that was my other thing, because one of the things I realized, like with artists like Shebo, and I listened to some of these other artists, Stefflon Don and some of the others, I think that their depiction of life in the UK, and I know UK has its own drill scene as well. In drill music here in the US has been criticized for glorifying violence. And I wanted to find out... In terms of the communities in the UK, specifically in London, is the drill music there depicting, is it talking about the violence that's actually happening in London? Is that, you know, are these things kind of happening? Are these issues in London that are actually kind of coming out in the music?
The simple answer to that is yes. I do think that's very much true. Even growing up, I grew up in East London. I'm from Hackney. So it was, I feel like I was very much very close to a lot of situations that were happening. So even watching Top Boy for me, it's kind of like difficult to watch because of the fact that it kind of hits kind of home, and especially seeing as Top Boy is literally set in East London. I mean, like, it's very, very crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. The another question is, okay, you've got the drill music scene in the US comes to, you know, the UK. And I don't know if how the relationship is between the artists, but I'm also kind of wondering how much being Black in the UK, I mean, and I think honestly, with all the things that have happened, especially 2020 with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter UK, is very similar to what Black people in the US have experienced. And so I'm wondering how much of the identities of people in the UK are influenced by kind of what's happening to Black people in the US. And then my next part of that question is actually going to be looking at what about that connection to what's happening in your case in Nigeria?
Okay, so for the first part of the question, I would definitely say that there's a connection between, I would say that like hip hop kind of influences a lot of Black popular culture, especially within like my age range, but it also, like, I know my brother, I have a 30-year-old brother who is still influenced by like Black hip hop popular culture. So like I know that like it ranges for a large amount of people. I would say the connection between like the UK and the US is kind of strong now, especially with like social media, like the rise of like things like TikTok and Instagram. Like even when I came to school in the US, a lot of people were fascinated with the fact that like I was from the UK. They asked me a few questions about like popular culture in the UK, the ways of life in the UK. I just feel like there's a kind of desire to sort of like learn to integrate people's cultures with their own. The same way that's the case in the UK, like people are really fascinated by the fact by US popular culture. And I feel like that's kind of the case with the world. Now, when looking at like mixing it with like Nigeria, I would say that I would say that the influence isn't really as strong, but it's still there nevertheless because of the big platforms that the UK and the US like hold. I feel like regardless, there's always going to be a kind of stature that's there, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I in listening to specifically Any Song I Want, and she talks about being, you know, we're Black and we're British and African too. And, you know, she talks about being so far removed from her, you know, from Nigeria, basically. And it's interesting because, you know, again, when you're looking at the U.S. and you're looking at second generation artists in the U.S., there's not even, so even though here's Annie who is saying these identities and in her, you know, in the video for Paying Black Girls, she's wearing African print. She's got people wearing African print. So she's clearly acknowledging that. But in acknowledging that, she's also saying I'm far removed from it. So it's part of me, but I'm still kind of, you know, I'm very much British as well. So I'm still kind of distant from the culture. So even though you may be able to say the same thing about someone like a Wale in the US, but that identity struggle or those dual identities never show up in the music. Whereas in the UK, you hear it, you see it. And Little Sim's music, she talks about it. And Shabo's music is talked about. I mean, even when you look at Stormzy's music, but that wasn't the case in the States. Okay, let me just give my theory in terms of the US. In the US, again, because mainstream Black culture in America is dominated, you know, African American experiences and culture, and there has historically been a negative perception of Africa and these negative stereotypes of Africa. So representing Africa has not been cool. I mean, more recently somewhat, but historically it's just not been cool. It's not been okay. And there also have not been, the majority of the Black people in America are not first or second generation or even third generation. And so there is more pressure to completely assimilate and not even bring your African identity anywhere near the table. And so it seems like it's different in the UK, where there's more room and acceptance for acknowledging that. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I very much agree. I feel like there's such a bigger disconnect between like the US and the continent. Like, I genuinely just feel like because they're so like far detached, it's kind of, it's more difficult for them to reflect it like across in their music. Whereas in the UK, I kind of like just wear my being from Nigeria as like a badge of honor. Like, I'm very much proud of it. And I feel like a lot of everyone in the UK will kind of understand, every Black person will understand what I'm talking about. We kind of like understand the kind of second gen struggle, first gen struggle, the struggle our parents went through to be able to like provide for us. And I kind of just feel like there's a much closer connect to the continent. A lot of us go there for holiday all the time. We have family there. We see life there. So I feel like it definitely is a kind of matter of the connect. And I definitely do feel like people in the US are kind of like more like reserved in terms of like claiming their African identity. That's something I've noticed a lot from staying here. So yeah, I definitely agree.
Okay. So then is it just out of curiosity, like in school and everything? So here, if you meet someone who's Black, you're not going to automatically say, unless you see their name and you say, oh, the name seems like maybe your family is not from the States. You may ask them where your family is from, but you will most of the time you'll see somebody Black and you just assume that that person is, you know, has been here multiple generations, that they're African American. But in the UK, is it common for people when you meet, you know, other Black people in school to inquire where someone's family is from? Is that something that happens?
Yeah, like I can literally recall moments from like when I was in school where like we would be like, oh, are you from Nigeria? I was like, yeah, like, and it would just be like a cool thing. it would just be something we would talk about, oh, we're better than your country. It's just a little like banter. But like over here, I don't know. It's just been a different dynamic. It's just definitely been a different dynamic.
That is, yeah, it is. I mean, I know having come here as a kid and coming here as a child, not speaking English when I first came to the U.S. and going through the American school system, especially in Ohio, where there were very few African students, first, second or third generation, and just being teased mercilessly to the point where you just want the accent to disappear. You want that identity to disappear, and you assimilate. And so you just kind of become, you know, you leave that part of you at home. So when you leave the door, when you leave home, Africa stays behind. And I can't imagine how nice it would have been to been able to kind of have those identities, to be able to claim that British identity, but also not to have to lose the identity of your family at the same time.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean. I couldn't imagine having to go through that, honestly. Like I've been going to like African parties for as long as I was like from when I was a baby, and then going to school the next day and talking to my, like, it was just normal. It was ingrained in our culture. So I can't imagine having to like separate it to like that extent where you feel embarrassed or like you feel ashamed.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So let me ask this, in terms of the hip hop, reggae has definitely had a huge influence on Black music in the UK, but I'm wondering what has been the impact of the Caribbean and Caribbean culture in the UK hip hop scene?
I feel like even within just like regular like culture, the Caribbean has a massive impact. For example, even our slang, lots of our slang comes from the Caribbean. Majority of our slang comes from the Caribbean. The part of it that doesn't come from Africa comes from the Caribbean. And from even our food, like Caribbean food is really big in the UK. In terms of hip hop, we have very popular Caribbean artists like Tion Wayne, for example. I was speaking about him earlier. I keep mentioning him because he's my favorite. Like, he's just my favorite. I think he's from Jamaica, but yeah, we have a lot of Caribbean artists. The Caribbean just has have a carnival every year. It plays a big role in our society, culture.
Yeah. So one of the things that I remember you commented about Stormzy, is he considered to be a commercial artist?
Yeah, he's probably the most commercial, like, drill artist, hip hop artist in the UK.
Okay. So, this is all really, really interesting. And I think, again, when I was doing this research and really wanting to look at how second generation artists represent their identities, represent these experiences, represent Africa. And I was looking only at the US and was just struggling. You know, the only group that I was able to really kind of find that was in the first generation artists, the ones who came here, you know, like I mentioned, like Blitz the Ambassador, those who came here after high school. So these are people who came fully formed in their identities as Ghanaians or Nigerians or what have you. And for them, they maintained, you know, again, these identities. And so that came through in their music. All of them, their music had these dual identities. And in fact, they were, you know, often probably presenting more their African identities. I know that, you know, when you look at the work of, I mean, with Blitz the Ambassador, you know, his songs, Africa is the Future, Hello Africa, Africans in NYC, you know, is clearly talking about the African immigrant experience, the African experience. Mon Love and Mensa had the song Gentlemen, where they talk about kind of, you know, this idea that they're supposed to be more Western, dress more Western, you know, speak this Queen's English.
be African man, original. I know be gentleman, no be gentleman at all.
No, 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 no. I'm not a gentleman. I don't wear suits like a reverend. No cufflinks, no bow ties. I'm just a simple man. No forks, no knives. Eat with my hand. I know it's better than samosa or meatball mixed with the cinnamon.
We are not pompous and arrogant, holding our nose up like elephants. In our simplicity, we are elegant. So to us, your coat and tie are irrelevant. Give up my culture for your religion, I can't. So we dey chant down colonialistic mentals, cause that kind of state be detrimental.
But again, these are first generation African immigrants, people who came over here after high school for college, and these aren't individuals who were born here. But when you start looking at that second generation, and so, you know, when you start looking at these earlier artists, these first generation artists, I do think they are important in the U.S. because they, in many ways, did help usher in the beginning of kind of maybe the Africanization of Black popular music. So you have the emergence of Afrobeats and artists like DeVito and Burna Boy and Shatta Wale and all these others in the U.S. So we need to understand also that Afrobeats is not hip hop, but that some artists do move between genres. But Afrobeats becoming popular, becoming a thing in the U.S. definitely, you know, was impacted by many of these kind of earlier first generation artists that came over here. And, you know, honestly, your people, Nigerians, they come, they're numerically, if you are a Nigerian artist and you come to the U.S. to do a show and only Nigerians come, you will still do a good show. You will still get good attendance.
There's just more of us.
Yes.
Yeah. Very true.
So that has been, you know, one of the, you know, so, you know, here the entertainment industry has seen that and it's like, oh, wait, wow. So it has definitely been good for Afrobeats. But when I started looking at the second generation, we were able to identify 10 artists. Of those 10 artists that were either Gen Z or millennials, just look at the list of artists that we found. We found Nipsey Hussle, who was from Los Angeles, African-American mother, Eritrean father. Lola Monroe, who was actually born in Ethiopia, but lived in D.C. Parents are Ethiopian. Bass, who is, I think he was born in Paris, lived in New York, family's from Sudan. Maxo Cream, who is born and raised in Houston, family's from Nigeria. Wale, born in DC, family's from Nigeria. And then like that second Gen Z. So those people were all born in like mid to late 80s. And then the 90s babies were Amine, who was born in Portland to Eritrean and Ethiopian parents. Chika, who was born in Montgomery, Alabama, which I can't even imagine what that experience was like, to Nigerian parents. Doja Cat, born in Los Angeles to a South African father and a white mother. Earl Sweatshirt, born in Chicago, living in L.A. to an African-American mother and South African father. And Thutmose, who is was born in the U.S. to Nigerian parents. And again, all of these artists, very few songs that express these identities, which is when I kind of switched to looking at the UK and then looking at how the UK has also taken hip hop and really done its own thing. I mean, the grime music scene, that was all UK. I mean, that all came out of the UK, right?
Mm-hmm.
The grime music. So it's like, you know, so yeah, so the UK isn't quite a bit. And so looking at specifically, and not even just UK, honestly. So I'm also going to, you know, also want to acknowledge that you've got artists like Safe You, who's out of France, whose family is from Senegal. You've got Shay, who is in Belgium, family's from Congo. You've got Niska, who is from in France, family's from the Congo. You've got, there's actually a few. There's this Rhythm and Flow France TV show on Netflix where they look at artists that are in France, many of whom whose families are from Africa. But you've got, you know, again, several of those. And then if you move over to Australia, you also have several who are over there. Again, representing these dual identities. And so it's definitely very interesting. So I definitely want to thank you. I have definitely enjoyed your perspective. You know, one of the things I was talking to my friend about is he's like, when are you going to come to the UK? This project, really, I'm like, one, it has to be summer because.
But winter is fun, see. Right now there's winter wonderland.
There's no such thing. You can't have wonderland in the winter. So
I promise you, it's amazing.
So I want to come maybe one summer because I really want to. This project is like, man, I need to see what's happening in Europe. I need to really kind of see really what's going on. And, you know, with, I think really with 2020, with all the stuff happening with the Black Lives Matter and then with this hip hop stuff, I'm like, ah, a lot is going on there. And I really want to get over there and do some research at some point. But we shall see.
I think we'll find a lot out, definitely.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I definitely appreciate this. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. In a cross city, Ghana, where we rock for the honor, got off stage, hopping a tro, Medina, where I stayed, was the reason for the freedom that I craved. Mama banging on my door, asking Jesus, can he save for sure? She could have swore I lost my mind, all alone in my room, spitting rhyme after rhyme after rhyme after only if she knew what I'd become. A journey so amazing, like the raisin in the sun. Look at me now, never in this game for the glory. Just a kid from Africa, here to tell my story. And all I had was a dollar and a dream.